Scripture tonight is the last beatitude, where the Lord says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted be the prophets which were before you." Let us pray.
Our Father, we're grateful tonight that you have arranged for us to come and worship and sing hymns of praises, and also are the estate of those who know Jesus Christ savingly, and that is with thee in heaven. And tonight we pray that you'd be pleased to help us to understand what this is all about as far as and persecution being a blessedness. And Father, that seems such a contradiction. So we pray that you give us light and you would give us encouragement and that we might be desirous of doing your will. Look upon each of us, and we especially would ask again that you would look upon Leah Francis and her need. We thank you for her, for Jamie, and ask that you would encourage them, help them in every aspect, and we ask for healing. And now will you look upon us individually and collectively as a church, that our Lord Jesus Christ might receive the preeminence. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you will look at Matthew 5, and especially verses 10 through 15, or 12, we have this, and the Lord wants us to amplify the eighth one. He gives one verse to all the others, but he said, I want you to get this one. This is the most important one. Let me say again things about the Beatitude. If you get the impression that said, well, you know, I kind of like that that one there. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the one I'll take. No. You can't pick and choose. Oh, I like that third one. Oh, I do too. You can't pick and choose. Why? Well, it's a description. These Beatitudes are a description of Christians. And if I may use it, it's so distinctive, it's like a birthmark. See, that person has a birthmark. Yeah. Well, there are 8 birthmarks of a Christian, and there are these Beatitudes. Do you have them? Well, you say, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, you better check it out, because it's a description of Christians. Verses 3 through 12, the 8 Beatitudes. I tell you that because we may come to a place where somebody's going to say, well, tell me what a Christian looks like, will you? Is he a person with a black hat and a black suit and a horse? What's a Christian really look like? Give me a description of a Christian. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll give you a description of it. The Beatitudes describe very well what a Christian is and all those characteristics. And he said, the top of the ladder is the one about the persecution. Say, Lord, I don't see how that can be the top of the ladder. Well, there are some rewards if you are persecuted. I just want to say that if you look at verse 11 a little bit, it says you're blessed. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Notice, the word is when, not if. You say, what's the difference? Well, some say, well, perhaps I will be persecuted. No. It's when you're going to be persecuted. No. Yes, that's what the word when means in verse 11. When men shall revile you. Do what? And persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. How are you making out? Are you a sweetie? Everybody loves you. Nobody seems to get bothered if you're around town or not. It's a promise, verse 11. It says, I promise you. And he says about that in the Word of God we can be expecting trials and tribulations. You say, well, how's this going to be blessed? I'm not finished yet. Neither are you. We're up for some persecutions if we're going to live for the Lord Jesus. Because of the matter of reviling and the matter of false accusations there in verse 11. It's one thing to somebody to revile you and persecute you, but when they say all manner of evil against you falsely, it's not true to go ahead and say these things falsely. And for whose sake? For my sake. It's a beautiful. And so the thing about all these Beatitudes is that it's for the children or those who are part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is for those genuine born-again Christians. They're part of the kingdom of heaven now. And so it's saying here that there'll be persecution. Now, I want to get to a subject here, but I'd have to do a little background. I'd like to turn again to that 2 Timothy passage that we looked at on Sunday. And you'll say, well, do you have to go over it again? Yes, we have to do line upon line, precept upon precept, and here word and there word. And we don't get tired. This is God's word. This is not man's word. But in 2 Timothy and chapter 3, you remember we looked at that verse 12 where it says a promise of God, yes or yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So no ifs, ands, or buts about that. If we live godly, we're going to get persecuted. Well, do you desire it? Oh, no. No, be a fool. Why are you having it so easy? Well, you're judging me? No. Are you having a pretty easy time about things? You know, hey, I'm a Christian. You are, yes. Do you have the birthmarks of a Christian? I know the Lord. Well, how about 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12? Are you paying a little price for a life that is godly among the worldly? You know, you can just stay quiet. Mind your own business. Just don't even say anything. And it's basically you come to church and Molly and me and the baby makes three. Just mind your own business. What the Great Commission says, you go and tell. And blah, blah, blah. You go and speak. Boy, I thought that's just for preachers. The Great Commission doesn't say just preachers. And so I'm saying to all of us, the easy way is just to be quiet and a nice guy and a nice girl. I mean, don't say anything. Come on. But it said if you live a godly life, you'll suffer persecution, and you will not only do that, but you'll talk about the blessed Lord Jesus. And well, let's go back to that John 15, and then I'm going to get into something different here. John, Gospel of John 15. And for I want to ask you a question. Why did they hate the Lord Jesus when he walked on this earth? He did so many good things. Why did they hate him? You answer that question. Maybe it'll be help tonight if you can answer that question, because in John's Gospel, chapter 15, I start with verse 18 and read some verses here that our blessed Lord, and this is the Lord speaking. It says, he said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now I want to ask you something. Why did they hate him? Well, let's see. Why did they hate him when he was here on the earth? He did so many good things. Healed and fed them, and gave them good words, but they hated him. Could it be, as God-man, that he was so different? Now, you go down to the barn with me, if a goat's a little different, they knock her around. It's a pecking system. All the animal world has a pecking system. The birds of the tree. Got a pecking system. Well, what does that have to do with it? He was so radically different that they just somehow or other said, man, I can't handle somebody like that. We need to get rid of him. He just shows us all up, it seems. And they that live godly, they shall suffer persecution. He said, now listen. It's going to happen. When? Well, I don't know when it's going to come, but I'll tell you one thing. The wise man considers the things of God. Maybe we ought to get prepared for it. The Lord willing, I hope Sunday evening to look at how the United States is being persecuted now and what we might expect in the future. Trying to handle some facts. In case you're walking around and say, you know, things are pretty good. This is pretty nice. I haven't been hit with a financial thing, and it's money still coming in, so what do I worry about anything? I've got pretty good health. Oh, dear friends, when I look at my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, my heart goes out. So some of us old guys will soon be off the scene, but what about those who follow if the Lord tarries? Are you concerned? Well, tell me a little bit about persecution. What can we expect? Well, we can go to Hebrews, a passage that we've read before, but it's worthy to read it again contextually. If we're going to study a passage, maybe we ought to just take a little time and see what the Hebrews chapter 11 says in verses 32, 38. These are people of the past. And by the way, in Matthew 5, it says they persecuted the prophets and they'll persecute you. I like that. How do you like to be listed with the greats? What do you mean? They persecuted the prophets and they'll persecute you. You mean I'll be listed with the prophets? That's right. Well, that's pretty nice if I'm going to be listed with all the prophets, the godly people in the past. See, I don't know much about his obituary, but I'll tell you one thing. His name is listed with the prophets of old. Must be some blessedness to this somehow. Well, here we are in Hebrews. And I'll start to read in verse 32. Who through faith, these godly people, and list them there in verse 12, 32, 31, so forth. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Boy, this is some passage. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted, and were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, in the dens, in the caves of the earth. Oh my, that's church history. That's biblical history. In case you say, well, that's back there, and we're here, and I don't anticipate any of that in our great America. There's just no way that this could ever happen here. We've got a constitution, and it'll protect us like you wouldn't believe, and it'll shut up the mouths of all the judges. Well, you got your head in the sand, I tell you that, if you kind of think that way. But I read in Acts 14, in verse 22, it says that, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue their faith. This is Paul and Barnabas here. After their persecution, it says they exhorting the Christians to continue their faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Hey, I don't want that. Nor do you. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that there'll be tribulations. When? I don't know when it's going to be. And so we need to get prepared. Paul, you talk so vividly about this matter of persecution, Paul. But, I mean, after all, did you really have it that bad? And in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, did I have it bad? And one of the closest walkers of the Lord Jesus in this world, close to the Lord Jesus, and he tells about his situation in 2 Corinthians there. I repeat this, but for our own good. I start with verse 24. He says, I'll start at verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day. I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren. Wow. And in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He was burdened for the churches, had all those problems, serving the Lord Jesus, and then he also had the burden for the churches. So what do you have here? You've said that it's a blessed persecution. I think you better go back to the study, preacher. How do you figure it's a blessed persecution? Something doesn't add up here. It's a paradox. You know, when the persecutors sin, you know, and sin against us, this scripture says in Matthew 5, when they sin against us, we'll be blessed. They'll sin. It's their sin. But we'll be blessed. You know, I went over the countries that are presently torturing and persecuting the Christians, and I just want to say, wake up if you think everything is just fine. Things aren't just fine. And we need to pray. We need to pray for folk who are experiencing persecution, because the day may come that you wish somebody prayed for you. I think that really godly Christians are irritants. To whom? To the ungodly, to sinners. You're an irritant. Oh, I thought you were a real nice person and lovey-dovey. You're an irritant if you had the marks of a Christian. Not that you want to be persecuted. No, you'd be crazy to desire it. But if you're a Christian, throughout the world, they want to eliminate you. We don't want you here. You're different. If you're a real Christian, the militant Islamics, they're militant. They kill Christians. You know that we're in Pakistan. Do you read the newspaper? Do you look at the news? Do you hear about Pakistan? Do you hear much about Christians? No. No, I don't hear much about it. Do you hear the suffering of Christians in Saudi Arabia? No. We hear about the matter of business, oil and so forth, and that's more important than truth. How about China? You hear about China and the persecution of the house churches, the underground church? How they kill them? No. Well, verse 10 of the Matthew 5, there is a verse that we really ought to look at. He said, I want you to know it's not because that you're weird and that you're some strange creature walking around not combing your hair right or something about you. No, no, verse 10 says, it's not that you're weird. Verse 10 of the Lord says, blessed are they which are persecuted, first of all, for righteousness' sake, living uprightly. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. My sake. Righteousness and my sake. Those two things. Well, I like verse 12. I want to spend a little time in verse 12. For it says rejoice. You know what that really says in the Greek? Be joyful. What? Be joyful. Be glad. It even has the idea of jumping. Jumping. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, I don't see much there to rejoice about. How would you like a certificate that says that you'll be rewarded in heaven by the Lord? You mean with my name on it? Yeah, if you're a genuine child of God. What are you saying? It's saying here the guarantee of great reward in heaven, and the Lord has signed it, so to speak. You could put your name in there if you really know that you have the birthmarks of Jesus Christ. You have the description of the Beatitude and say, hey, thank you very much, Lord. And he says, you're welcome. And I want to tell you, verse 12, that you can just rejoice and be glad and happy and jump up and down if you like to and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Do you guarantee that, Lord? When the Lord says something, he guarantees it. Now, listen, Dan can tell you today he has been confronted by the Mennonites. And they say, do you believe in eternal security? Once saved, always saved. Now, that's their little, that's what they want to play. And if you meet with them, that's what they want to sing to you. Do you believe in eternal security? You know, look at that verse. Is that a promise of a God? What does it really say to you? It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Am I going to make it? Yes! And these disciples said, well, praise the Lord. I may have to go through a lot of troubles and trials and persecution, but I have the promise of a reward in heaven. It says, great is it. And he says, I'll be persecuted so persecuted the prophets which before you. And that's where I get that thought that we'll be lined up and listed with the prophets of old if we do what he says we're to do and be what we're to be, and we're genuine Christians and not little quiet little sweetie smiley faces that never speak up for the Lord Jesus. And just mommy and me and the baby makes three. And I pay my bills. So I'm a pretty good guy. And I'm a religious chap. I do read the Bible and so on. I do pray. They're all commendable. But oh, to have that joyful attitude. When I read verses 10 through 12, I must admit to you, I don't get a real joyful attitude hearing that, do you? If I were to read you a couple things. Oh, I got time. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You say, well, we can read that ourselves. You think that all of you will read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Really not. Do you have plans to read this? Probably you won't read it. Some of you have. Some of us have read it. What a book. You say, what's it tell you? It tells you verse 12. How the people going through great trials, they had rejoicing, and they were exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And they were persecuted like the prophets were in the past. Now, I didn't take time to go over this real thoroughly, but you all heard of John Huss. Queen of England feared his prayers, you know that. Well, let's see, John, you took a real stand for the Lord. You read a lot about how faithful you were to the Word of God, John. Mm-hmm. Well, you're a preacher. Yep. So it says, then followed the other bishops in order, who every one of them took away the vestments from him, which they had put on, each one of them giving him their curse. Now this is, he's being accused of heresy. In those days, they did something about heretics. Wrongly accused. Whereunto John answered that he did willingly embrace and hear those blasphemies for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Had a good attitude. Oh, John. Lord, teach us. At last it came to the rising of his shaven crown. But before the bishops could go in and hand with it, there was a great contention between them with what instrument that it should be done, with a razor or a pair of shears. In the mean season, John Hus, turning himself towards the emperor, said, quote, I marvel to the emperor. I marvel that forasmuch as they be all of like cruel mind, yet they cannot agree upon their kind of cruelty. What an attitude he has. He knows what's going to happen. At last they agreed to cut off the skin of the crown of his head with a pair of shears. And so when they had done that, it said the skin. And when they had done that, they added these words, quote, Now hath the church taken away all of her ornaments and privileges from him. Now there resteth nothing else but that he be delivered over unto the secular powers. The government took care of the killing. It is the church's power to bring it about, and they listen to the church. That's the Roman church. But before they did that, there yet remained another knack of reproach. For they caused to be made a certain crown of paper, almost a cubit deep, in which were painted three devils, a wonderful ugly shape. And they set this title, they set over their heads, which when he saw, he said, quote, My Lord Jesus Christ, for my sake did wear a crown of thorns. Why should not I then, for his sake, again wear this light crown, be it ever so ignominious? Truly I'll do it, and willingly. And when it was set upon his head, the bishop said, quote, Now we commit thy soul unto the devil. But I, said John Huss, lifting his eyes up towards the heavens, do commend into thy hands, O Lord Jesus Christ, my spirit which thou hast redeemed. And so, finally, the bishops, they turned themselves towards the emperor, and he said, Well, this most sacred synod of Constantine leaveth now John Hus, who hath no more any office in the Church of God, over to the civil judgment and power. Then the emperor commanded Lois, Duke of Bavaria, who stood before him in his robes, holding the golden apple with the cross in his hand, that he should receive John Hus of the bishops and deliver him unto them who should do the execution. Now I'm taking a little time. Just relax. It's important to see how this man of God, how he entered into heaven and being persecuted. You probably won't read it, so let me just take a couple more paragraphs. So, delivered him unto who should do the execution, by whom as he was led to the place of execution, before the church doors, he saw his books burning. They burned his books. Whereat he smiled and he laughed. And all men that passed by, he exhorted not to think that he should die for any error or heresy, but only for the hatred and the ill will of his adversaries who had charged him with ill will who charged him with most false and unjust crimes. It was not true. All the whole city, in a manner, being in armor, they followed him. So the place appointed for the execution was before the Gottenben gate, between the gardens and the gates of the suburbs. When John Hus was come thither, he kneeling down upon his knees, and lifting his eyes up into heaven, he prayed and said certain psalms, and especially the 31st and the 51st psalms. And they who stood hard by heard him oftentimes in his prayer with a merry and cheerful countenance. Repeat the verse, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit," end quote. Which things, when the lay people beheld, they stood next unto him, they said, "What he hath done before, we know not, but now we see and hear that he doth speak and pray very devoutly and godly." A certain priest sitting on a horseback in a green gown, drawn about with the red silk, said, "He ought not to be heard because he's a heretic." In the meantime, while John Huss prayed, and as he bowed his head forward, he to look upward into heaven, the crown of paper fell off his head upon the ground. Then one of the soldiers, taking it up, again said, "Let us put it on his head. Let us put it again on his head, that he may be burned with his masters, the devils, whom he hath served." When by the commandment of the tormentors he was risen up from the place of his prayer, with a loud voice he said, Lord Jesus Christ, help me, that with a constant and patient mind, that I may suffer this cruel and ignominious death, whereunto I am condemned for the preaching of thy most holy gospel and word," end quote. Then, as before, he declared the cause of his death unto the people. In the mean season, the hangman stripped him of his garments. And turning his hands behind his back, they tied him fast onto the stake with robes that were made wet. Whereas by chance he was turned towards the east. And certain ones cried out that he should not look towards the east, but he was a heretic. So they turned him towards the west. Got to have everything right, you know. Then was his neck tied with a chain onto the stake, which when he beheld smilingly, he said that he would willingly receive the same for Jesus Christ's sake, who he knew was bound with a far worse chain. And under his feet they set two faggots, mixing straw withal, and so from the feet up to the chin he was closed round about with wood. Before the wood was set on fire, Louis, the Duke of Bavaria, another gentleman with him, who was the son of Clement, they came and exhorted John Huss that he would yet be mindful of his salvation if he renounced his errors. To whom he said, "What errors should I renounce, when I know myself guilty of none? For this was the principal end and purpose of my doctrine, that I might teach all men repentance and remission of sins, according to the verity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, with a cheerful mind, with courage, I'm here ready to suffer death." And when he had spoken these words, they left him, shaking hands together, they departed. Now, then was the fire kindled. If you think I'm boring, just listen to this and see if you can enter into this, please. Then was the fire kindled at the stake, and John Huss began to sing with a loud voice, "Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, have mercy upon me." And when he began to say the same the third time, the wind drove the flame so upon his face that it choked him. Yet notwithstanding, he moved a while after, by the space that a man might say almost three times the Lord's Prayer, when all the wood was consumed, the upper part of the body was left hanging in the chain, which they threw down stake and all, and making a new fire, burning it. The head the head being first cut in small goblets, and that it might be, that might the sooner be consumed into ashes. The heart, which was found among the boughs, being well beaten with staves and clubs, was at last picked up with a sharp stick and roasted on a fire apart while it was consumed. Then with great diligence, gathering the ashes together, they cast them into the river Rhine, that the least remnant of the man should not be left upon the earth, whose memory, with notwithstanding, cannot be abolished out of the minds of the godly, neither by the fire, neither by the water, neither by any kind of torment. This godly servant and martyr of Christ was burned at Constantine the sixth day of the month of July in A.D. 1415. Ha. I'm doing very well on time tonight. I want to talk about William Tyndale. You got a Bible there? Thank God you got a Bible. This man was, in a great sense, responsible that you have a Bible there. So where do I start with Tyndale when he's been executed? Well, okay, I'll see. Master Tyndale, still remaining in prison, was proffered an advocate and a procurer, of the which he refused, saying that he would make answer for himself. He didn't need a lawyer. He had so preached to them who had him in charge, and such as was there conversing with him in the castle, and they reported of him that he that if he were not a good Christian man, they knew not whom they might take to be one. At last, after much reasoning, when no reason would serve, by the way, this is as long as the other one, he deserved no death. He was condemned by virtue of the emperor's decree made in the assembly of Augsburg of Deutschland, brought forth to the place of execution. He was tied to the stake, strangled by the hangman, and afterwards consumed with fire at the town of Philford in A.D. 1536, crying at the stake with a fervent zeal and a loud voice, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Such was the power of his doctrine and the sincerity of his life that during the time of his imprisonment, which endured a year and a half, he converted, it is said, the keeper, the keeper's daughter, and others of his household, as touching his translation of the New Testament, because his enemies did so much carp at it, pretended to be full of heresies. He wrote to John Frith as follows, quote, I love this. He said, "I call God to record against the day we shall appear before our Lord Jesus, that I never altered one syllable of God's word against my conscience, nor would do this day if all that is in earth, whether it be honor or pleasure or riches, might be given to him." He said that he loved that word so much, that Bible you have, and as he translated the New Testament, he said, "I had no way messed with it like today people freely mess with the word of God." Revelation. And chapter 2 of Revelation. Yes, it's a great reward. He says, "Be joyful, have a joyful attitude. I'll be with you, I won't forsake you." Remember the three Hebrew children? They got in there and there's a fourth person. That was God who was with them. What a joy it must have been to be thrown into the furnace and finding God there to be your comfort and your help. So in this second chapter of the book of Revelation, the church of Smyrna, it says this in verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's great. I think that these men, and if you want to read the rest of the book, they had loving hearts. They didn't shake their fist. They had loving hearts toward the persecutors. They sang. Can you imagine singing on a pile of burning wood? They had a forgiving spirit. Well, I think I'll stop there. You know, friends, I have found personally that a so-called among church people that you can expect persecution. Yeah. Brethren, be careful. Be careful. Because you offend one of the least of these my brethren, you'll give an account for it. We've got to treat each other very kindly and lovingly. Just be careful.
Well, that's the way I was brought up. I wasn't brought up to be a diplomat.
You be careful. Try a little etiquette. The Bible teaches about being courtesy, being courteous. The Bible teaches courtesy and love among the brethren. Got to stop there. Perhaps as we enter into prayer, you have a thought that you'd like to share concerning the matter of the persecution that the Lord Jesus. Boy, I tell you, all these Beatitudes lead up to the top step. And he said, this is the supreme one. And you get prepared. And he says, I'll give you that grace. I'll give you that strength to go through all that. Because my children, the children of the kingdom, they're prepared to do that. We've got a wonderful Savior, friends. Amen.